I'm glad that each one of you is here tonight. Hallelujah. Make this decree with me. I can do all things because of the grace of God. I have eyes to see, ears to hear. My body is under subjection because of the cross of Jesus Christ. My soul is being renewed. My spiritual eyes and ears are open to hear and receive. Amen. Do you believe Jesus loves you? Do you believe that Jesus prayed for you today? Do you believe that me and Donna love you? Do you believe we prayed for you? Now, I want us to be real sensitive to the Spirit, okay? This is not a normal Wednesday night service. This is something that you and I need to hear what God's saying to us. The Spirit of God woke us up out of a sound sleep a little after 2 o'clock this morning. And just, you know, we can, you know, sometimes we act like things are all right in our life and we just want to just go with the flow and deal with the punches or whatever. But you and I, when we need God's help, we need God's help. And there was a definite spirit being that I saw that was on the prowl and was working in the people's lives that the Lord has gave us authority in. And so we've got a message tonight that will go along with that. But the message will do nothing unless you and I hear the Word of God and then we take heed to it. Amen. God wants to help us in every area of our life, but the only way that He can is that we put His Word first and we allow His Word. See, we know the Scripture. We talk about it all the time. You'll know the truth, and the truth makes you free. Well, there's a great spirit of error that's working in the world today, and if you know the truth and the truth makes you free, if you know a lie, what does a lie do? And so, if the enemy can get us to believe something and work in that direction, it opens up a door to, in the spirit realm, and that gives that spirit of error to work. See, the devil, his entity, his spirits, they work in gangs. And you got to recognize when you get in the place where you're feeling rejection, you get in the place where you're feeling hopelessness, and as you yield to each one of those things, there's another spirit that is coming and ganging up on in your life, and it's trying to move you into a direction that takes away all your hope and confidence, and trying to get the spirit of death to work in your life. So we need to be very cautious. Amen? All right. So open up your Bibles with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs, and we'll see how this works out. Proverbs chapter 16, Brother Ryan. Let's look at the second to last verse, verse 32. Proverbs 16:32. Now, the reason why we're looking at this, because here's what the Spirit of God said. We're going to be disciplined in the Word of God, or we're going to, whether we want to or not, we'll become disciplined in the demonic. I want to be disciplined in the Word of God, don't you? And because whatever you submit to, whatever I submit to, it controls us. Amen? And so if we submit to Jesus, He's the one that makes us free. But if we submit to anything else, then we've got an issue. Daniel 1:8, it said that he purposed in his heart that he wouldn't do anything or listen to anything that would move him away from God's best, basically. Amen? He purposed in his heart. That word purposed is the same Hebrew word that Genesis 2:5 talks about where God put man in the garden. You know, in other words, just like God has a plan and He puts things in position, you can follow God's example. Amen? And you can put things in position in your life that's saith the Lord rather than anything of the enemy, in other words. Okay. Proverbs 16:32. he or she, no gender intended, he or she that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he or she that ruleth his or her spirit than he or she that taketh a city. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Brother Corey, would you pray? Yes. Yes, Lord. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right, so you say, well, we're talking about anger. Well, anger is one situation, but we're using the thought that if you and I, we can put anything in that blank tonight. And as you put anything in that blank, I want you to see that whatever is in that blank in your life, if it's despair, if it's negativity, if it's anger, if it's whatever it might be, we could cover a wide range of topics. If you'll be slow in that area, if you'll resist that, the Bible here is saying that you're going to be better than the strongest person. You're going to be in a place and a position of victory because, see, everything that is happening in your life and my life, the enemy is trying to bring you down, trying to discourage you, trying to stop you, trying to hinder you. Because, see, when you got born again, when you got saved, your spirit become brand new in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as it become brand new in the Lord Jesus Christ, it was perfect. Your spirit was perfect. But as you're still operating in the same body with the same soul, you've got the same problems in those two areas that you had before you got saved. And whether we want to look away or deny it or whatever, evil spirits work in your body. They work through your body. They work through your mind, will, and emotions. They did before you got saved. And every time that you and I take heed to a word that is opposite to this word, whether we want to admit it or not, we can act super righteous if we want to. It's the devil, and he has a plan and agenda to destroy you and I. So we want to be in the place where we apply this, where we learn how to be slow in the areas that we have weaknesses. Now, we've all got weaknesses. And it's not making a bad confession when you admit your weakness. When I admit my weakness, the Bible says, confess your faults, James chapter 5. And what we need to do is, we may not have anybody else that we can trust, but we've got the Lord Jesus Christ. We can trust Him wholly. And He wants us just to open up our heart and say, listen, Lord, here's where I'm at. Here's what I'm dealing with. This is what He knows all about it anyway. And we're in that place and we say, Lord, I want to be slow to this. I don't want to deal with this all of my Christian life. I don't want to be dealing with this at the sounding of the trumpet. I want to have an overcoming testimony. I want to stop every open door because, see, the smallest area in your life and my life that we have rebellion, that opens up a door for whatever that spirit started in to bring another spirit. You know, like I said, if you're dealing with depression, you've got to see that it started first because you didn't understand your value. It was a spirit that cut your legs out from under you and told you weren't worth this and weren't worth that. And you yielded to that thought. And then here come the next spirit that brung the despair. And here come the next spirit. And all of them, they're working to try to bring a spirit of death in your life because that's who the devil is. Amen? And so we've got to see, though, we can rule. We can rule and reign through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? But we've got to be in that place where we apply it. Now, the Old Testament, it helps us to see the types and the shadows, what we're dealing with. I think it's Numbers 33. Let's see if we can find it. Here in Numbers 33, it's the journeys of the Israelites. And if you look, God starts talking to them through Moses. Look at verse number 50. Numbers 33:50. Then the Lord spake unto Moses in the plain of Moab, by the Jordan near Jericho, saying, speaking to the children of Israel and saying to them, when you are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. Now, see, we look at that and we think, boy, you know, that has nothing to do with me. But see, since Brother Corey was led to the Lord to study the book about little g gods, the idols, it helps us to see what is being said here. In your life, the Spirit of God is talking to you and I 24/7. It's not when we feel the doodads, it's not when we prayed, as we quote unquote, which is not true, when we prayed Him down. We don't pray Him down. He lives in me. He lives in you. He lives in every believer. He's always there. He said He'd never leave us and never forsake us. So He's there. It's just times that you feel a manifested presence rather than you're walking by faith. But in that reality that you know that He's with you, just like the children of Israel, as they were coming into the promises, you're coming into the promises. But they had to drive out all the inhabitants of the land to be able to receive the fullness of the promise. Tonight, you and I, we've got to be honest with God and say, listen, I've got an area in my life. You label it. You label it. I don't know. All I saw was this black entity, and He was working overtime on God's people. Somebody is fighting depression. Somebody's fighting anger. Somebody's fighting a spirit of confusion. Somebody is in a place where there's a spirit is bringing complete division in your life and what God has for you. And so we've got to do what the Bible says. The Bible says, drive those things out. Drive them out. How do you drive them out? You empty out of everything that you're feeling, everything that you see, and you fill up. You can't be a vacuum. You've got to fill up with what thus saith the Lord. Amen? You've got to take it in. Now notice, he said, and you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. You've got to dispossess. You've got to drive out every thought. Every thought that's contrary to the Word of God. When you think that you can't do something, or that you're not worth something, or you think that you're a failure, or you think that you're never going to get victory, or you're never going to get healing, or you're never going to see something come together that's been promised by the Word of God, that is a hindering spirit. That's a spirit of error that 1 John 4:6 talks about. Come on. But you have greater is He, the Holy Spirit, inside of you than the evil spirit, the hindrance of the devil that's in the world, 1 John 4:4. So but you can't give place to any of those thoughts. You've got to bind every one of those thoughts. You've got to stand strong, because if you yield to one of those spirits, then it'll start to dominate you. And as it starts to dominate you, it'll take you in a sphere of thinking that you normally wouldn't think. Amen? Now notice, drop down to verse 55. But if you will not drive out, verse 55, Numbers 33:55, God says, but if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them, they shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. We don't want to end up like the children of Israel did. Do you realize that in that promised land to this day is the inhabitants that were supposed to be driven out. Yeah. And they're still causing Israel trouble to this day, because they simply didn't do what God said. Now, with all of my heart, God is, I'm telling you, there is going to be a special anointing this year to do the unbelievable. There's going to be great things that God is going to do through His church. But for you and I to be able to do that, we've got to trust Him. And we've got to let the Word of God come through us, according to John 15:3, and be pruned, be purged, be made clean. Let everything that the enemy would do in your life, let it be took out. And that way you can see the promises of God. You realize that you can talk to some people tonight, they can't see what you see? Why can't they see it? Because there's pricks in their eyes. They don't understand the prayer that you... Somebody in here, you cried last night. You cried out for somebody, and your heart was broke for them, and they do not understand how you feel about them. They don't understand the prayers that you prayed for them. That doesn't matter. You hold strong to the power in the name of Jesus. Amen? And let's just believe that they'll take hold of the Word of God, and they'll get the pricks out of their eyes. Amen? God is a God that's a healing God. He's a delivering God. He's a victorious God, and He doesn't give up on us. Amen? And so here we are tonight. Let's go back to the book of Proverbs, and let's see something. Wait a minute. Before we go to Proverbs, let me reread this again. He in verse 32 in Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Now, I want you to see that word mighty, you know, in connotation with the supernatural. You've got to walk around and you've got to say when that attack comes, 1 John 4:4, you've got to say it. Greater is he that is in me. I'm not listening to you, devil. I bind you in Jesus' name. And then you replace whatever thought that he's trying to put on you, whatever limitation he's trying to put on you, whatever negative flow that he's trying to work in your life. You let the Spirit of God bring you a verse that is the truth. Come on, if he's trying to convince you that you're not going to get well, if he's trying to convince you you're not going to overcome, if he's trying to convince you, whatever it is, you just ask the Lord and let the Spirit of God give you a verse. And as you start saying that verse, it makes a complete circuit in your from your spirit, and it starts renewing your soul, and it brings your body under subjection, and all of a sudden, that truth starts bringing freedom. It starts bringing liberty in your life. Now, you've got to do this because why? In John 14:30, Jesus makes this statement. He talks about Satan. He talks about the devil, the prince of this earth. And he said, he's fixing to come, but he has nothing in me. He has no claim on me. See, now can I just be honest with you? Because, you know, I've got problems, but I've got the answer. Jesus is the answer. All right. So some of my situations and problems are when the devil moves in a certain way in my life and he works because that's the way he's worked through my genealogy. He's worked through my family. And so I've got to be in the place where I continually say, no, devil, you don't, because Jesus Christ came to redeem me from the curse. Amen. And so you're not going to work that curse in my life. You're not going to do it. I'm not going to accept it. I'm not going to believe it. I'm going to stand against it. And I say, you have no part in me. But see, Jesus didn't listen to anything the devil said. Remember, the devil questioned everything, and Jesus would just say, it is written. And so Jesus is able to make that statement. So tonight, what the Spirit of God is going to do in your life and my life, He's going to show us if there's a spot where the devil has an open door to work in our life. And that's between you and God, between nobody else. I would never embarrass you. I'd never hurt you in any way. God would never embarrass you. He would never hurt you. It's between you and Him. But He wants to what? He wants to shut that and put the blood of Jesus over it. Because Jesus said, when I shut a door, no man open it, right? Come on now. That's encouraging for you and I tonight. And so we've got to see that. But we've got to be willing to admit there may be a spot. There may be an avenue. There may be something there. But just because there's something there, it doesn't mean it has to stay there. Amen? Victory. Victory. And this is our message. This is our hope. This is our confidence in the God that we serve. Now turn on over to the 25th chapter. Proverbs 25. Look at the last verse. Proverbs 25, verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Now, don't get mad at me. And just look straight ahead. Don't pay any attention. And it'll be fine. But if you're dealing with a certain situation, you've got to see that it makes you vulnerable. it opens up the door to the enemy. And God wants to make you strong in Him. Come on, let the weak say they're strong. We're strong in Jesus Christ. I'm not living by the old man. I'm not walking by the old man. I'm walking in the newness of life by the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. Aren't you? Come on, He's our victory. He's our source. And so He gives me instruction here. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city. So I need to tell the Lord, listen, in this area, I'm sinning. It's okay to tell God, come on now. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell anybody else. Just tell the Lord. Lord, I'm not exactly where I need to be in this area, but I want to rule in this area. I want to have your victory. No more do I want to allow the enemy to torment me and hurt me in this area. Now, notice what he says. He said it's like it's broken down and without walls. Now, we don't have time to look at it on a Wednesday night, but you know the story of Job very well. But Job, we look at it, and if we're not careful, we misunderstand the whole point of Job. The best that people can tell, I don't know, but scholars say that this trial lasted anywhere from 9 months to a year, and where it seems like it was maybe a half a lifetime as you read the book. But Job, he had the wall of the Lord around him. He had the protection. He had the walls of that Zechariah talks about. Zechariah, 2:5 or something? God wants to be a wall of fire around us. He had that, but all of a sudden, there was something in Job that come out. The Bible said that Job's greatest fear come upon him. And that fear is a spirit. Come on, when you're not just afraid. If you're in a situation where you get afraid and then you calm down and you crucify that. Come on, that's just a human emotion. But if it's a situation where it's a spirit of fear where you cannot crucify it, then you know that the devil is behind it. And he's there to bring. Well, this is what was happening in Job's life, and he lost the wall, he lost the protection, and he lost everything. So we got to be cautious, and we got to recognize and realize that John 10:10 is real. Jesus did come to give us life more abundantly, but if we don't receive the life that Jesus has, the devil is going to steal, kill, and so we've got to be on our alert here. Now notice what he said. I want you to see that it's broken down without walls. And let's go to the book of Genesis and let's see an example of how it happened in the beginning. Because God said, I'm going to declare the end from the beginning. Genesis chapter 4, look at the story. You know the story of Cain and Abel very well. But let's just for sake of time, let's start reading about verse 6. Verse 5, it tells us that Cain is aggravated, his countenance fell. But look at verse 6, Genesis 4:6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou right? Now, what did we read earlier when we started? Anger is a source. There, you realize there's anger, that you can get angry in the flesh, and you can crucify it and go right on. But there's a spirit of anger. If you have an issue with a quick temper that you cannot control, you get in a place where there's a lot of confusion in your life and you misunderstand people and you misunderstand situations, it's not your fault. It's a spirit. But it is my fault if I stay there. I don't have to stay there. Amen. I can come out of that. All right. Now, notice. Why art thou wroth? Why are you angry? And why hath thy countenance fallen? Verse 7. God tells him, he said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, notice this, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. We've got to recognize and realize the devil wants to do anything and everything he can to be a prick in your eye, to be a thorn in your side. He wants to blind you. He doesn't want you and I to see the truth. He wants to dominate us. He wants to rule and reign over us. But so we can get angry. We can have misunderstandings. We can have feelings here. No doubt there's jealousy that's working here. There's jealousy here. There's spirit of jealousy, a spirit of misunderstanding. But all of these things, as they come to the door of his heart, as they come to the door of Cain's heart, he what does he do? He finally submits. He gives in to that. See, the Bible says in Matthew 18 that the spirits of the devil, they're tormentors. And he wants to what? Daniel chapter 7, he wants to wear you out. That's what the devil does. He tries to wear out the saints. And so you and I have got to be in a place and a position where we recognize what's happening and we call out on the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? So in your weakness and my weakness, we don't run away from God. We run to God. And we get to that place where he can help us. Here, Cain didn't take the word of God at heart. And we know the whole story. We know the sad situation. So you and I, we need to take heed to what God has for us where we can move from the negative to the positive. Amen? We can come to the place of victory. Now, and let's go to the New Testament. Let's look at something here. And the book of Galatians, I want you to be so encouraged. We know these verses of Scripture, but if we don't apply them, you know, if we don't pull strength from them, it doesn't matter what we know if we don't use it. It's like you can have your cabinets full of stuff, your clothes, your closets full of stuff, but if you don't use it, what benefit is it, right? So inside of you is, the Bible says in the book of Colossians that you're complete in Christ Jesus. God can't lie. So why would we look anywhere else? We look inside to Jesus. He's the one that makes us complete. And we recognize and realize that what his word says, we can do. Amen? All right. So let's think about this. We need to be disciplined in the word of God. We need to be empowered by the word of God rather than what the demonic would say. And so here's your verse that will solidify this in your life. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. Galatians 5:22, you know this very well. Everyone in here can quote the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Look at the last one, number 9, temperance. Self-control. Self-control. The fruit of the Spirit in your life is the ability to discipline yourself. Glory. That means that the fruit of what God has gave me is it doesn't matter what the devil's doing or what he's saying. Now, this is the key for you and I coming out of bondage. Don't get mad at me, but now some of you, you're in bondage in some situations and circumstances, but you don't have to stay there. Because Jesus wants you to be, he wants me to be free, amen? I am tired of being bound in certain situations and not being able to be what God wants me to be. I'm tired of not being able to go where God wants me to go because my flesh says I can't. Because my mind says, why should I? All of these things. Come on now. We have a fruit of the Spirit. Now, fruit, for it to be beneficial, you've got to partake of it. Amen? So when the enemy comes and you're in a place of temptation, or great distress, great trial, then you've got to simply say, Lord, you said I had temperance, I had self-control. So I'm thinking you what I'm wanting to do, what I'm wanting to say. I pull from your word right now. The word's anointed. The word's Jesus. And when you pull from that word, all of a sudden, strength comes up inside of you. You're able to keep your mouth shut. You're able to look away. You're able to change your thought pattern. You're able to believe God for good rather than the harm, the lie that the devil's saying. Amen? Now look what he says. He said, jump back up and let's read verse number 16. Verse 16, Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Better said, not live by the Spirit. Live by the Holy Spirit in your spirit, and you shall fulfill the lust, the pull of the flesh. It's not just sexual. It's not just that type of lust. It's anything that is contrary to the truth of the Word of God. He said if we would walk in the Spirit. Now, that means that I can walk in the Spirit. Because He wouldn't give me an option. Now, sometimes I chose to not walk in the Spirit. I chose to fulfill my lust. Amen? And it never turns out well. But now, look what he said. Now, this is where it gets exciting. I wanted to read that. Drop back down to verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. See, when you got born again, when I got born again, we went on the cross with Jesus Christ. Come on now. When we started following Jesus, we picked up our cross and we come after Him. So everything that the enemy would try to work in and through you is to keep you and I bound by the old way of thinking and the old way of talking. But we are Christ. Come on, say, I am Christ. That means everything that the enemy has an avenue to get to you is stopped. But we've got to renew our mind to that. We've got to walk in it. Amen? Now look at the next verse. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, in other words, you got born again, so your spirit's alive unto God. And so, because your spirit's alive unto God, you fulfill John 4:24. God is a Spirit and we must worship Him. How? So, that's how we live. We recognize that every moment is an opportunity to worship God. Every moment is a moment to see more of the flesh put down, more of the self-control of the Holy Spirit in our spirit to come forth and to shut out every lie of the enemy. But you've got to believe the Word of God about you. You've got to believe it more than anything else. And if you will do that, if I will do that, it'll change everything. Amen? All right, now, turn over here to the book of Ephesians. This is how we put it to practice. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Ephesians 4:26. Be ye angry and sin not. Neither let the sun go down upon your wrath. So, there is anger is an emotion. God gets angry. The Bible says that when the devil starts messing with his children, that it's like sticking a finger in the pupil of his eye. It talked about one time when David called out to him and the devil was working in David's life, that smoke come out of God's nostrils. So emotion is good as long as we're not letting the enemy take it and manipulate it and bring us into bondage by it. Okay, so you can be angry, but you don't have to sin. Now, keep in mind what he's fixing to say. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. So, let's take that word anger like we did when we started, and let's allow the Spirit of God to search our heart and to put whatever He's wanting to deal with tonight in that spot. So, be angry and sin not. Be hopeless and sin not. Be discouraged and sin not. Because all of those things is not what God has for His children. See, if I'm holding on to that, then what am I doing? He said, neither give place to the devil. That place is where we get our English word topography. It's real estate. It's the devil doesn't own anything. Psalms 24:1, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. 1 Corinthians 10:26, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God owns it all. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Psalms 50:10, 11, and 12. God owns it all. Why would I want to give something that God bought back? Come on, He bought you and I back. He redeemed us. So, if I'm giving place to the devil, I am sinning. We don't like to admit that we do things, that we make mistakes, but there's great power when we confess, when we tell the Lord, Lord, I recognize and realize I'm doing some things wrong, and I want to make them right. Amen? Now, worry is a sin. Now, so if I'm worried, That means I'm not in faith and I'm not trusting God. And if I'm worried and I'm meditating on that and I yield to that worry, then here comes all the intertwining of those spirits that work with worry to operate in my life, and I give more and more place to the devil. And as I give more and more place to the devil, on the throne of my heart, there's less real estate, there's less access of God the Father through the Son by the Spirit in my life. And I start getting cold. I stop praying like I should. I stop losing interest in my Bible. I can go longer without ever cracking it. I can go longer without being around God's people. I can go longer without talking about the goodness of Jesus Christ. Come on now. Neither give place. See, it's those little foxes that spoil the vine. It's those little things that start adding up in our life that make the hold of the enemy get bigger and bigger and stronger and stronger. Ted Bundy, the most notorious serial killer of my generation, he said it all started by looking at one pornographic image that was in his household. And they, if you've ever seen that interview that they did with him before he went to the execution, you know, he said, I don't really know how I got from there to here. It's those little things of rebellion and disobedience that take us to places that we would never go. Now, we can get quiet, but God loves us. And the reason why He wants to help us is because there's going to be people coming into your life, into this church, and they're going to be in situations just like us, and some of them even a deeper level and a harder struggle. And God wants your life to be true and genuine. He wants you to be able to say, let me tell you what my God done for me. He wants you to be at peace, but He wants you and I to be able to help others. Amen? Okay. Now, notice what He says. Drop down to verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of who?
Your mouth.
See, I give spot. I give topography. I give area to the devil when I say what the devil says. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Now go with me back to the book of Proverbs in closing. I believe it's Proverbs 15. I want to look at a verse. Proverbs 15, verse number 3. We'll read it first. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in where? Aren't you glad? Because, see, sometimes people have looked at me and they've judged what I've done or what I said completely wrong, and they didn't have an idea about my heart. Same way with you. But God's eyes were there and He knew the truth. Aren't you glad that God's got your back? He'll never let you down. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Come on. God's going to judge those things that's coming against you. Believe that. Let Him help you. I got to let Him help me. Amen. But the way I can help Him is I can agree with Him. Amen. Look at the next verse. Verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Now this word wholesome, it's marpe, I believe. Don't hold me to that, but I believe that's what it is. And it's the Hebrew word that means curative, healing. Your tongue can heal your situation, can heal your community. Right now, everybody is saying, oh, there's no way we can stop this casino. It's just coming. Just give up and just go on. I tell you what, they can say what they want to, but you don't got to agree with them. God's on the throne, and God moves according to His children. Wow. What is in your life that is that the devil wants you to give spot to, that he moves on you to come in agreement with him? See, Jesus said that you and I could talk to the Father, and when two of us agreed as touching any one thing, it said our Father, which was in heaven, would do it here on earth. So your tongue is a curative. It's a healing thing. But if I give spot to the devil, then the negative would come to pass. Amen? A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach. Notice this. Mark this down. This is why we came here. But perverseness is a breach in the spirit. Now remember, we talked about a wall. God wants to be a wall around you. He wants to be a wall around me. But if I say like Job did, if I talk other than the truth of the Word of God, I just can't ever put that down, or I can't ever get past that, or if I try to put that curse on somebody else, you know how great he is. He'll always be that way. We got to be careful. So you can bless with your mouth, or you can curse. And when I curse, when I come in agreement with the enemy, he said it would be a breach to my spirit. So tonight, I want us to be in the place and the position where we recognize that word breach there, it means a schism. It means a fracture. See, we don't have the full understanding of Genesis chapter 3. And, you know, we get all over Eve for the situation in the garden. But Adam didn't do his job. He didn't keep the garden. He was supposed to keep the garden. Amen. You and I, we've got to recognize and realize we have authority over our home, over our household. Your home is your garden that God has gave you. And you've got to protect it with everything that you've got. Don't have a breach. Don't let the devil come in through the internet. Don't let the devil come in through the radio. Don't let the devil come in through the television, through the satellite, through the cable, whatever it might be. Recognize and realize what he's doing. Those little things that feel good to the flesh, all they are is a breach that is trying to get the enemy to be able to work in your spirit to bring discouragement, hopelessness. Amen? Now, I could be even plainer with you, but I'm not going to be. I just, with all of my heart, I want you to know that God loves you so much, and He wants to wrap His arms around every area of our lives, and He wants to make it right. But you see that God's a perfect gentleman. You know, in my life, I had some situations that God wouldn't even talk to me about, because he knew that I wouldn't listen to him. He didn't address it. He did at first. He brought conviction. And when I rejected that, I said, I don't want to talk about that. I'm not going to talk about that. He just let it go. See, there's a season God deals with us about certain things. And when we push God away long enough, Father, in the name of Jesus, to the best of my ability, Lord, I've spoke what you spoke in my heart. Lord, I know that you love us with an everlasting love. And I know and I recognize and realize that as I saw that spirit of error, that darkness that was working, Lord, it was real as us being in this sanctuary tonight. Lord, and I asked you, Father, that you just give each person supernatural boldness to respond and to allow you to come into their heart in a deep place, starting right here with me, Lord. I want to leave here forever changed. I want every curse broke off. Lord, make this so real. Let it be, this word, let it be like fire shut up in our bones where we have to respond. Let it be.
Draw now with cords of love that cannot be broken. I ask you in Jesus' name. Would you come tonight and make yourself an altar? Would you be honest with the Lord and honest with yourself? And allow God to shut the mouth of the lion? Come on now, that's what happened. Daniel, he was in that pit. You may seem like you're never going to get out of that pit, but you may be in the pit, but God can shut the mouth of the lion. Or you could only hear from Him. Would you come tonight and be honest with the Lord? Come on, I know this is personal. And I know but this is real. I could start naming things, but I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't embarrass you whatsoever. But I want you to know that when you pray for, when we pray for each other, it's real and it's true. God doesn't lay stuff on your heart without it being a reality. Please don't sit there. Come on. Make yourself an altar. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.